Now let's continue on. Let's come on to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Again, what I want you to really think about as we go through these things, how you can relate to God by using these psalms to help you in your prayers. Because lots of times someone says, well, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, that's what the psalms are for. And this helps you in really coming to understand that God is there. He will hear you. He's going to help you. He's going to rescue you. But you have to trust in him. Now notice how this Psalm 55 starts out, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am distraught in my trouble and moan in my complaint. Now, have you ever been distraught, not know what to do? Have everything like your whole world is coming apart? Well, we're going to experience that around us as we go down in time. See, the key is this, is that you don't develop trust when the trouble comes. You develop trust before the trouble comes so that you can trust in God. Because remember the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 trusted in God, and they took their lamps with oil in their vessels in addition to what they had in their lamps. And the foolish came to them and said, well, we don't have any oil. Give us of your oil. They said, we can't. You go to those who sell and buy for yourself. In other words, you have to keep up your spiritual relationship with God all the time. So then when you are confronted with troubles, God will help you. God will intervene. Verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast mischief upon me and in anger hate me. Notice how he felt his troubles. And sometimes troubles are so heaped upon you, emotionally, mentally, and the oppression of it, just like it says here in verse 4, my heart is pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And so he says, where's the relief? And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. Well, that's not going to happen until the resurrection. Well, then I would wander far off and I would lodge in the wilderness. Get away from it all. Get away from all the stress, all the tension, everybody else and all the things coming in upon me. Then it says, Selah. That means think on this. Pray about it. Now come back here to Psalm 54, just on the same page down in the corner there. Verse 1. Save me! Have you ever cried out to God, just save me? So here we have, hear me, give ear, attend to my prayer and my supplication. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. And God will. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Now, some of this has to do with how Christ felt as well as how David felt. For strangers have risen up against me, and violent men seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Think on this. Wherever you read Selah, that means stop, think on this, meditate on it. In other words, then apply it to your own life and your own circumstances. Now notice what happens after you think on it, meditate on it. Verse 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my soul. He shall reward evil to my enemies, destroy them in your faithfulness. And God can do that. So you pray for your enemies in many different ways. Number one, may they be converted. Number two, if they're not, keep them far away from me. Number three, if they don't turn to you, then you judge them. Number four, if they become so wicked, then God, you take care of them in your judgment and destroy them. Verse 6, I will freely sacrifice to you, and our sacrifices today are prayers of praise to God, trusting God in faith. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good, for he has delivered me out of all trouble. And that's why we have troubles come upon us, so that we can look to God to deliver us from it. So you look back and think of the worst troubles that you've had in your life. The lowest point that you have come to in your emotions and your experience and everything that you have done, has God delivered you? Yes, of course. When you were going through it and experiencing it, you probably didn't think that God would. And maybe at that time you were way far off from God. Maybe at that time you never heard anything about God. But what did the trouble do? Just like it says of the children of Israel, in their trouble they cried to me, God says. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye shall see its desire upon my enemies. Now let's come here to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Here's another one on how God is going to deal with us. Notice how this applies. Notice, because God does not intervene to help the wicked. He doesn't intervene to help the arrogant. We'll see that. Now, verse 1, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times, showing a continuous relationship with God. That's why, you know, a lot of people said, well, all I hear is prayer and study. Well, true. That's right. And that's to remind you that God wants you in a relationship with him every day. That way you're going to have strength in trouble. Don't wait until trouble comes. Have your defenses already up. Have your help and strength and trust and faith in God and his deliverance. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. So God is there to help the humble. God is there to help the contrite. God is there to help the meek. Let us exalt his name together. Now notice what we need to do. I sought the Lord. Remember the promise that Jesus gave. Seek and you will find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. And to greet, there has the intensity. If you seek, you keep on seeking, and knock, and you keep on knocking, and to ask, and keep on asking. Now, let me say something here. A vain repetition is something like the Catholics do, when they do Hail Mary and Our Fathers. A needed repetition is when the prayer still needs to be answered. In other words, if there is something in your life or something in the lives of others that you are praying for, you keep praying every day until the answer comes. Now, those repetitions are not vain. Those repetitions are needful. Does the problem need to be solved? Yes. Do they need to be helped? Yes. Do they need to be healed? Yes. Do they need to come to have peace of mind? Yes. Do they need to return to God? Yes. So all of those things. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I saw a very interesting interview on television the other day. A man wrote the book Fearless. And he believed in God, and he showed how to get rid of the fears. See? Well, you get rid of the fears by having confidence in God, trusting in God, looking to him, having faith in God. Now notice what happened here, verse 5. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. Now look at that. All his troubles. Whatever they are, you take it to God. Don't fret, worry, and stew about it, and go to bed and lie there and toss and turn, or be so fretful that you can't think of anything else during the day, or whatever it may be. If that's the case, go pray. If that's the case, and you can't sleep, get up and pray. That's what we need to do. God will hear us. He will save us. Now there's another help that's always there. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. There's angelic help available because all the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are heir of salvation. That's us. And of course, it talks about in the New Testament that the angel of God is of the little children, that the angel of God is always beholding the face of the Lord. So how many angels are there? Who knows? Is there one assigned to every individual? Who knows? I don't know. There's the other side of the coin with Satan and his angels called demons. They're always there working with the wicked. So we have angelic help. How many times have things transpired where either in an accident you were saved out of it, or you just missed a catastrophe because you weren't there, and maybe you should have been there, but you didn't get there, and the catastrophe happened, whatever it may be. Now, because of this, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So when you call out to God for deliverance, he will. He's got the strength and power with his spirit. The angels have the strength and power and have been assigned to do it. Claim the promise. Now notice, because of that, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good, and he will intervene for you. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, not in your own solution, because as we read in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, all you saints, for there is nothing lacking those who fear him, and so forth. Now let's come down here to verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. So we always have to examine our conduct, you see. Seek peace and pursue it. Now notice this. A promise. Don't think that God does not know. Don't think that God does not hear, because he does. Notice verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Always. When you get on your knees and pray, don't get up off your knees and say, well, I wonder if God heard me. He always hears. Or get up and say, well, I wonder if God is going to answer that prayer. He's going to answer it, you see. So you don't have to doubt. And he's going to answer it how? In his way, according to his truth, according as to how he's dealing with you. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Comparison. The world, the saints. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Notice how many times we've covered, you're delivered out of all the troubles. Why? Because you trust in the Lord. You look to him. He will hear. He will answer. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are of a contrite spirit. Again, showing our attitude. Now, here's something that we're confronted with. Now, when we read this, sometimes we think, well, you know, people in the world don't have troubles. Well, I'm here to tell you, there are people in the world have mighty, mighty troubles. So don't feel picked on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Notice, all troubles, all afflictions. And if we get weak and old and die from whatever affliction may come along, we still have the triumph over it through God, through the resurrection, right? A new body, a new mind, eternal life, live in glory. All of those things are there because God has called us, because God loves us, because God cares for us, because Christ died for us. And he's at the right hand of God to intervene for us, to help us in every way. Verse 22, we'll finish it off here. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them who take refuge in him shall be condemned. So that's quite a promise that we have. That's a tremendous psalm for us to really know and understand and realize. Now, turn here Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And let's pick it up here in verse 23. The steps of a good man are made firm by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Okay, I've already covered part of this, didn't I? Yes. All right. Let's come to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Verse 1. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Now notice, refuge, deliver, and righteousness. Bow down your ear to me and deliver me quickly. So there's deliverance again. Be my strong rock, a fortress of defense to save me. A rock. What did Jesus say about the rock? The one who hears the words of Christ and practices them and builds his house upon a rock. Though all the difficulties and troubles come, like floods and waters and wind and rain, it's going to stand because it's built on a rock. Versus the foolish man who hears the words of God, doesn't practice them, and he builds his house on sand. And the rains come and the floods come and the wind blows and the house is gone. He delivers. He helps us. Verse 2, bow down your ear to me, deliver me quickly, be my strong rock, a fortress of defense to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me up out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my strength. Then it talks about Christ. From here on, most of the rest of the psalm is a prophecy of Christ. Into your hand I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Those were the last words of Christ. Into your hand I commend my spirit. Now, come down here to verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. Because everything is based on loving God. God's love to you, your love to God. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud doer. Don't worry about the wicked. God's going to take care of them. Verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. And so this is how we trust in God, receive the help, receive the intervention. Now let's come back to the New Testament. Let's come to Mark 11. And let's see how this is accomplished. Mark 11, because trust and faith are like a hand and glove. They go together. Mark 11. And here it shows, again, the kind of prayer that we need to have and the kind of faith that we need to have. Now, this is where they were coming to and from the temple during the last days of leading up to the crucifixion. And as Jesus was going into the temple, he cursed a fig tree on the way. And then they passed by, verse 20, and in the morning they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, look, master, the fig tree that you cursed is dried up. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith from God. Now the Greek actually can mean this, have God's faith. Meaning that the faith that you have comes from God. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Faith, hope, and love. Now here's what can happen. For truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be taken away, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he said will take place, he shall have whatever he shall say. Now, let's look at this not only from just the physical mountain, because we're not to go around and say, mountain, go into the sea. Let's look at it this way. What is the mountain of problems that confront you? And what are you faced with when you have heaps of trouble? Well, ask God to help you, take them away, cast them into the sea. And shall not doubt, asking that God will help you and deliver you, but shall believe that what he said will take place, he shall have whatever he shall say. That's also another promise. God hears, God answers, God will provide. Now notice, continuing on, there are a couple of other things that we attach to it. Verse 24. For this reason I say to you, all things that you ask when you are praying, believe that you will receive them, and they shall be given to you. Now, what is the caveat that comes with that? Well, there are a couple. Hold your place right here and come to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We'll come back here to Mark 11, just a minute. Come here to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Notice, let's begin right here in verse 9. This is the model prayer, not the prayer we are to repeat, but the model prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Therefore, you are to pray after this manner, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it has to be according to the will of God. Not only are we to pray, your kingdom come, but that also means for us that we are to govern our lives with God's Spirit according to His commandments, and that we are under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God, though the kingdom of God is not yet here on earth. And that's how it works. Your will be done, not my will, but your will. And even Jesus prayed that prayer just before he was arrested. Remember that? All right, come back here to Mark 11 again. Now, what do you do when you have doubts and you don't know if God is going to do it? Well, confess to God you have doubts. Ask God to help you believe. Ask God to help you understand his will and how he will respond to us. Because he will. Let's read that again. For this reason I say to you, all things that you ask when you are praying, believe that you will receive them, and they shall be given to you. So that first condition is according to the will of God. Let's notice the second condition. Verse 26. No, verse 25, rather. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Now notice, that is not conditional. Now sometimes there are things that are very hard to forgive. Very difficult to forgive. But Christ says, you are to forgive. We want our sins forgiven, don't we? Should we not then forgive others? Now, what if you can't get to them and say, I forgive you? What if it is something that just happened a long time ago? What do you do then? You still forgive before God and put them in God's hands and let God take care of them. And what happens? You relieve yourself of that burden because you put it on Christ and you give it to God. And that is necessary for the answering of prayers. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your offenses. And lots of times our offenses against God do not take place necessarily in overt actions, but with internal thoughts. And yet God is the heart-knowing God. So remember this. Let's come back here to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We'll come back here to Mark 11 again. Let's go back here to Psalm 103. And we can claim these promises, okay? Psalm 103. Okay, there we go. Psalm 103. Well, let's begin right here in verse 1, because this also becomes a very important thing for us to understand. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now see, God wants all of you. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your being. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And you can stop and you can recite all of those benefits back to God and thank him for it. Now notice verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And they now know, and it is now, and the scriptures have told us, and Christ is telling us back there in Mark 11, that healing comes with forgiveness. Not only forgiveness to you, but your forgiveness to others. Now let's ask a question. Do you want all your sins forgiven? Yes, of course. How can you then ask for the forgiveness of your sins and hold something in the back of your mind against someone else? That's why Jesus says, forgive. And it's important to have your sins forgiven, see. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your desires with good things, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, those are some of the promises to claim. Let's come back here to Mark 11. Now, I know that it is a difficult proposition, but I want you to think and remember this. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross dying, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That is the example, and that is the model. Now, verse 25 again. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. The word of God comes from Christ. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your offenses. And I remember I got a letter from a woman one time who said, well, my God would never do that. When I went and explained the parable of Matthew 18, I said, well, I said, that's what Jesus said, didn't he? And if your God is the Father, the God of Jesus Christ, when he was in the flesh on the earth, that's what he said. So this will also help us in our understanding of what we need to do for each other and with each other and so forth. Now, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. Now, there are two things that we are rescued from or delivered or saved from. Colossians, the first chapter. Now, when we're called and when we are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, God is the one who has rescued us. And he's done it individually and directly for us. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Even as you also learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ for you, who has also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, from the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that's the result of the relationship with God and in loving him. Verse 10. That you may walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Now here are the positive things in trusting in God and looking to his way, having his Spirit, maintaining a relationship with God. Being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. And this is how you have peace of mind even in times of difficulty. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now notice verse 13. This is the greatest thing that can happen to us. Who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness. And who is the prince of the power of darkness? Satan the devil. And has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love. That means we are now under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. But he has rescued us from the power of darkness that's in this world and that comes from Satan the devil. Now, let's come back here to Romans 7 and let's see what else he has delivered us from. And that is our own personal carnal nature. Romans 7, verse 21, because there is the pull of human nature, which is a law of sin within our members that is automatic. That's why we need the Word of God, the Spirit of God, growing in grace and knowledge in everything that we do. Now, verse 21, after analyzing his behavior and everything, Paul said this, consequently, I find this law in my members, that when I desire to do good, evil is present with me. Have you ever had that happen to you? You do something that's really good, and all of a sudden, the evil that's within you pops up. You know, just like this game. I remember one time when we went to the feast up in Tahoe. We went down to eat at one of the casinos down there, because you can get great meals for, you know, $10. You know, thick pieces of prime rib and steak and things like that. And the kids were with us, and Jonathan and David were with us, and they had a little game area for kids. And one of them was that you had a little hammer. Okay? And the game to be played was this. A head would pop up out of a hole. And there were many holes and many heads down below. So you would, bam, and I remember Jonathan doing this and David doing it. They had a contest. How many heads could you knock down? See, and they took this and bam, popped up in another place. Bam, popped up in another place. Bam, popped up in another place. Well, sometimes that's just the way it is with fighting evil, right? You overcome this over here and boop, up comes something else. So you overcome that and whoo, here comes something else. See, no, we have to be delivered from it, see? Because that is in our members. So Paul looked at himself and he said, verse 24, oh, what a wretched man I am. Because you're torn between the righteousness and goodness of God, the love of God, and the pull of human nature and sin, and Satan out there in the world coming after you as well. Notice, who shall save me, and that is deliver and rescue me from the body of this death? I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ because of this. On the one hand, I myself serve the law of God with my mind. You are still there and overcoming. But on the other hand, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin, not meaning that you give yourself over to it, but when that sin pops up in your mind, just like that game and the hammer, that you use the power and spirit of God to overcome it, and God rescues you from it. Now let's see the attitude that we are to have. Let's come to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians 4. Here's the attitude that we are to have. Here is then how to keep not only an even keel, but balance in everything that you say. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now, they thought that Christ was coming very soon at that time. And here we are, nearly 2,000 years later, and we're what? Well, Christ is nearer than he ever has been. But how far down the road that is, we don't know. But nevertheless, it is true. So verse 6, here's what he tells us. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry. Do not be frustrated. Do not be overcome with anxiety. Do not be overcome with oppression or depression. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God in everything. Daily, hourly, he will hear. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so that in spite of the troubles, in spite of the difficulties, You know, God is going to deliver you, and he's going to give you peace of mind. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. It's like having a sentinel right there in our minds. Now, finally, brethren, verse 8, whatever things are true, this is how you overcome evil thoughts. You replace it with good thoughts, godly thoughts, righteous thoughts, humble thoughts, yielding to God. Whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now that's how you grow and change and overcome, and God delivers you out of all your troubles. Now verse 9, we'll finish here. Whatever things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, or that is out of the Bible now, you do also, and the God of peace shall be with you. And that's how you trust in the Lord, receive the salvation of God, and are delivered out of all your troubles, and God is with you in everything. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.